Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at GEICO.com.
It's time for the Bits and Pieces Podcast, featuring your hosts, Jessica Alsman, Jessica Hooker, Jason Hossett, and Willie Griswold.
Thank you, Mystery Man. Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. We got Jessica, we got Jess, Jason, Willie, and we have a special mystery guest. Last time somebody just walked through the door. I don't know if I'm waiting for someone to walk through the door. Oh, yes. I think I know
Yay!
Who it is. It's the sneakiest man in the building.
Oh, my land of legs. Is this a podcast?
There he is. He's Mark. He's Mike. He's Allison.
Whatever.
It's Mark Allison, everybody. How you doing, man? I'm so happy you're here. I had no clue it was going to be you.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
I knew it was him because I heard him in the hallway tell Jason, I'm not doing any show prep. I'm not doing anything before this. I'm just going to come in.
I don't want to know what's going on.
Right. That's
Yay,
what he said.
Yay, I'm such cool. a happy, giddy little girl right now.
Yay.
I love these shows.
Happy, joy, happy.
Alzi, you look like the little girl in Despicable Me who goes, it's so flippy! Hell yeah. Well, thanks for doing this, man. We're so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Mark, you've been in so many classic bits. Jason, do you want to go through a few Mark Allison characters? Should we wait until later?
First of all, let's give a little background. I think, Mark, if I'm right, I think it's 25 years you've been here.
25
right?
years in August.
August. Silver anniversary.
And that's full time.
Right, with the Bob and Tom Show. I was here 2 years prior to that working on the AM, doing sports at the top and bottom of every hour. I'm Mark Allison. And so Tom heard me. And I sort of helped out behind the scenes a little bit. Mm-hmm. They were looking for some more help on the show. I happened to be in the right place at the right time. Plus my unbelievable talents. Boom. Next thing you know.
Yeah, I remember when I was an intern, you were doing mornings. And I came in a couple times and I'm Mark's grabbing the paper and he's doing all these things while in between doing his little stuff on the AM.
Yeah, because at the time, back in the day, they used to carry the Bob and Tom Show locally on the AM as well on a simulcast. Mm-hmm. Double up on the commercials, kind of smart, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they dropped off carrying it on the AM locally. But by that time, I'd moved on to the FM.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yeah. Well, I have a little medley of Mark here. It's not super long, but it's actually some of the bits we've done already. We're on episode. What are we? 31.
Is that what
episode?
Like that.
So in the previous 30
Miller episode. There we go.
It is. It's the Reggie Miller episode.
One.
And Reggie couldn't be here, but
no, we got Mark.
Yeah,
Mike. Whatever.
Whatever.
So I'll leave the mics open here and I'll just play this little piece here.
Here you go, Crisco. Paparazzi pizza.
Hi, can I?
Smile. A little bit to the left. Come over here.
I want your unit to back me up, big
fella. Are you angry with me?
Well, let's just say I'm a little sore right now.
Oh! Mr. Fister.
There we go. I have to ask before I mess this up, Jason. Is that, let's start it off with something short and very obscure?
No, that's okay, cool. Not that.
Perfect.
Yes, no.
Well, did you see a theme there throughout my bits?
Yeah. I feel like you've been typecasting.
I was going to say, you're just so happy all the time, right? You're just
always
the happy character.
Always joyful. Always ready to, willing to read a script.
So do you remember your first bit, Mark?
I don't.
I have a feeling Crisco is up there. It's got to be real early.
That was. Amazing Crisco was probably the first one that I was involved in. But a lot of times things happen where Dean will walk in and say, you know, here's a script. Come and record with me whenever. And you just sort of do it. And you're just doing your lines, right? And then the masterful Dean Metcalf puts it all together and suddenly it's radio legend. And you just don't really realize it because you're kind of just reading a script, doing the lines. And the next thing you know, it's like on the air. Sometimes they laughed and it was great, and other times, you know, not so great. So it's fun, though. It was fun to hear that little montage because there's some of those that I don't remember doing.
Well, you're always the guy in the background, like for Godzilla, which we don't do as often anymore, but Those yelling in the background when Dean needs a voice. That's yeah. you.
When Dean has a lady in the pit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. Mark might be somewhere in a pit. Yeah.
Help me! Help me!
There you go.
And that is just compelling voice work there.
It is.
I mean, that is. Just talking about it like it's a 30 for 30 or something. The presence of mind to go into that high voice.
Yeah, well, but Mark, it's great. Anytime you interject in a live show, whether it's a bit or not, like you'll just come in the studio sometimes and yell off mic and it just adds.
He did it yesterday.
Three words, exactly. Three words. And it's yeah. just
the intercom has gotten a whole new level here
oh,
for
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. That's like a character in itself.
Oh, yeah. You had two yesterday. You had intercom and you had two cars.
Well, yeah. I asked if we were still on the air through the intercom. I got an email from a guy that said, that was hilarious. I almost hit a mailbox driving off the road. I was laughing so hard. Which, you know, would have been right in line with all of the emails we've been getting over the last day or two with Chick backing into his car in the driveway. I mean, that's lit a firestorm with the listeners.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Hey, I did it. I backed into my dad's car. Same scenario. Yeah. He was over visiting. It's not like I didn't know he wasn't at my house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to go to the store or something, threw up the garage, and I didn't have a backup anything at the time. Mm-hmm. Started to back up. And looked up at the last second and saw and stopped.
Oh,
and
yeah.
and I just touched, but there was nothing. I mean, it wasn't like Chick's story.
No.
And so I see how it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even when you're looking around, you just go, oh.
He texts me this morning and goes, I really appreciate you sharing with everyone that I backed into my car. He was like, otherwise, I don't know what we would have talked about the last 2 days.
It was, I mean, it's been comedy gold. And I only called him an idiot, Mark, because he's the only person on the show that listens to this podcast. I just wanted him to be moaning.
Willie called me an idiot.
Exactly. Moaning his lawn like, damn it, little Griswold running his mouth again.
You do realize he knows where you live.
Yeah, I know.
You also realize he does not mow his own lawn.
No, yeah. I was like, what's a thing for a guy to get grumpy?
Well, no,
during?
But there's a reason for that, why he doesn't mow his own lawn. Chick McGee can't leave his house without being surrounded by paparazzi and fans.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he has to stay sort of secluded and inside.
He's a busy man. I just like to imagine Chick walking around in like the grocery store. He's got sunglasses on. He's got a hat on. He's got a mask on. And just no one gives a crap. Like, no. Got to stay under the radar.
You guys, we went to a supply place to get paper goods for the green room just now. And I walked in, and I go in there all the time, and they were like, Jess, hey, Jess, and Chick's behind me. And I was like,
yeah, there's really nothing better than seeing Chick McGee out in real life. Mm-hmm. I bumped him at Lowe's once, and he didn't know I was there. So I was thinking, how am I going to approach this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just sort of waited, and he was like walking, and I kind of get up behind him, and I go, hey, how you doing? And he ignored me at first, of course, and I said, hey, I'm talking to you. He kind of did the Chick, kind of looked a little bit to his left.
Real
and then he
slow.
Goes,
yeah.
Oh, hi. Well,
the king of that is my dad. Famously, Jess and Chick went to a sushi restaurant last year, and my dad was there, and they didn't say hi to each other the whole meal. Mm-hmm. He didn't even notice they were there.
No, Chick took a picture standing by the front door with Tom in the background.
Tom in his natural environment. That's always fun, too. Yeah.
Magooing around town. Well, let's get into our first bit. We're going to start off with something short and very obscure.
It's time once again for People Who Suck at Small Talk.
Hey, catch the big game last night?
Well, what truly is a game when you really think about it? I mean, it's merely a struggle for conquest between competing rivals in a match to attain victory, so they can feel superior about a relatively inconsequential endeavor.
Jeez, sorry I asked.
Join us again next time for People Who Suck at Small Talk.
Really good use of a bleep right there. Mm-hmm. Really good use. Mark, were you offended when they go, hey, we need an annoying voice?
Oh, no, never offended. No, always happy to help out.
Especially with an annoying voice of some kind.
Yeah. It's like, no, he can play the part. He'll do it. He can definitely be annoying. I was listening for the sexy saxophone that kicks in for the guy who would rather do blank than have sex.
Right.
Because it's the same intro, but there's no boom, boom, boom to get you in the mood. Real
That's
fun.
That's true. That's true.
Do you know when that's from, Mark?
No.
No.
No clue. 25 years within that realm.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between now
probably
and 25
a
years
solid ago. 15 years ago. I'm
yeah,
guessing.
At least.
Yeah. Huh. And you went to Ball State, right?
I did. Ball State grad, chirp chirp. That's what they say these days,
chirp.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, class of 92.
Okay.
Back in the day, went from there to, I was a television, TCOM, they called it.
Right.
Radio television was my major, and I was lucky enough to do an internship over the summer after college in TV news locally, which let me know I didn't want to go into TV news.
Yeah.
So seeing behind the being on the inside of a newsroom and seeing it from that perspective gives you a whole new perspective, because I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to get out of college and I'm going to go to TV and I'm going to go to California and woohoo. And right. then I saw the reality of just local TV, and I was like, I really like radio. And so I just kind of focused on that. And I got extremely fortunate, extremely lucky. I mean, I had my degree, but you kind of get to that point and you're like, OK, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like people go, hey, can you come work for me right now?
Right.
You have to sell yourself. You kind of have to get out there. You got to do what you have to do. And I didn't know how that was going to work exactly, mm-hmm. other than I knew I didn't want to go into TV. So mm-hmm. I was focused on radio, and I actually contacted my administrator at the head of TCOM at Ball State. And I told him, I want to go into radio. I did the TV. I just don't really think it's for me. I'd like to do radio. If you hear of anything mm-hmm. and anything comes up, just keep me in mind, blah, blah, blah. Just threw it out there, right?
Sure.
2 weeks later, my phone rings. Hey, Mark, Dr. Joe, there's a guy up in Marion, Indiana, mm-hmm. small market. His news director of 30 years is retiring, and he's looking for someone to replace him. I think it'd be a great opportunity for you. I know you want to work in Indy or a bigger market, but trust me, this could be you should at least give him a call and talk to him. So I did. I went and did the interview, and I got hired, and actually was the news director. I was the only one in the news department, which was great because I got to direct myself.
Right.
Had a beeper, had a pager at the time, covered
nice.
A whole county, did school board meetings once a week, did city county council meetings, kind of did all those, got to know people in the community. It's a small town, so you kind of get to know everybody because you're kind of covering everything. And so that was a great experience and sort of facilitated everything that I'd learned in high school when I was in radio, TV, and in college, sort of came all together. And the best part about my job in Marion as news director, I've never really shared this with anyone before, was that in my studio, there was a board, much like what Jason's in front of, but it had dials on it instead of what it is now. Mm-hmm. This is back a while. Yeah. But the best part, the Q button, WFBQ Indianapolis, Q95, was our emergency station when they sent out an alert for a tornado or some state emergency. Then you have to run the relay. And so, therefore, they were in our system. And so I could come into the morning and do my half hour running the board, do my news, and then between doing the news at the top and bottom of the hour, I could listen to the Bob and Tom show through the Q-speaker. So the whole time I was working, I was kind of listening to Bob and Tom, and I'm like going, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Right.
That's what I want to be doing.
Were you a Bob and Tom kid? Like, all of us were Bob and Tom kids, some of us by blood, some of us just by choice.
Yeah, absolutely. When they came to Indianapolis in 83, I was a sophomore in high school. And my dream from when I was young was that I wanted to be a radio DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told in seventh grade by my counselor when I went and said, I want to go into radio. He's like, well, you're in a great place, our high school. You can work at the radio station when you're a junior and senior. And I went, I want to do radio right now. And he's like, well, no, I mean, you have to build up for it. They'll just take, and I go, well, what can I do? And he goes, concentrate on English. When you get to high school, take debate, work on writing. If you can write and read, then and put sentences together, then you can speak. And if you're going to be on the radio, you have to know how to speak.
Got to know how to talk.
Got to know how to put words together.
You got these blinky microphones. They're not blinky. Yeah.
Can fake it for a while.
And so, with that advice, I was like, okay. So I was pretty singularly focused on, okay, mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to do. But being a junior was so far away when you're in seventh grade.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
When I was a sophomore, Bob and Tom came to town. And as a junior, I was in radio, TV. And on my way to school, my friend Herb would drive and we'd be listening to Bob and Tom. And I said to Herb, I'm like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's
like
awesome.
Bob laughing and them having a great time. Like, they just came in and had fun every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning was just fun and laughing. And I was at school and we would sit in the parking lot not wanting to go in.
Right.
I was like, dude, we got to go. We're going to be late. No, wait.
Yeah.
But so, yes, definitely.
That's awesome.
From the get go, I was very much into their kind of humor, their humor that was sort of out of bounds at times. But at the same time, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, that sort of guided me in what I wanted to do. But, the fact I ended up actually working for them is a dream come true.
Yeah, I think all of us feel that way on some level.
It's pretty crazy.
Actually,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I grew up, I told Bob this when he retired. the lights out here on the towers, I could see from my bedroom window at night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I knew it was a radio station.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would sit there and scan the radio and listen at night. Yeah. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
And
man.
It's right here. Yeah. I pull up every morning and see the radio.
And see that. Yeah, I know. That's it's yeah.
It's still not real.
It is.
Walking in and see the sign, I'm like, what am I doing?
I know.
I get a little giddy when my key fob still works.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like beep. Oh, I can go in the building.
Yeah, right.
About a little bit of that every day.
About 6 months ago, I came in one morning and my key fob didn't work. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, we don't have
so I had to ring the bell because when I come in, the only person that's here is Tom.
Sure.
So I rang the bell and of course he doesn't, you know, he's in here. Yeah. So I texted him and he came and opened the door and I was like, do you know anything about my key fob not working? Oh, you need to go talk to Eddie.
Yeah.
And it just was the battery.
Right.
Was
out.
That's better than you need to go talk to HR.
Yeah, right. How exactly.
You didn't get the email?
Yeah.
I remember that morning because my dad called me at 3 a.m. He goes, I need to come get your key fob. Mine didn't work either. It was a nightmare. Well, you said Bob and Tom, a lot of fun. This next bit, being glued to a toilet seat, no fun.
He's famous for getting his butt glued to a toilet seat, and it's time now to hear from him in a new segment we like to call Ask a Man Who Is Glued to a Toilet Seat. We have the man who is glued to a toilet seat on the line, so let's go to the phones for your questions. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I've been dating this woman for a couple of months now, and I'm starting to have real feelings for her, but none of my friends seem to like her. What should I do, man who is glued to a toilet seat?
Help! Somebody help me, please. Can anybody hear me? Hey, some jerk put glue on the toilet seat. I'm trapped in the handicap stall. Hello? I'm not handicapped myself. I just like the extra roominess. I really didn't mean any harm. I just figured even if Stephen Hawking is here picking up a few sheets of plywood, what are the chances of him needing to pinch one off at the exact same time I do? And I apologize if handicapped isn't the correct term. What is it they prefer? They're conveniently parked? God, why won't someone get me out of here? Or at least throw me a magazine.
We've got time for one more call. Hello, you're on the air with the man who is glued to a toilet seat.
Hello, long-time listener, first-time caller. I work in an office, and I've developed a huge crush on my married boss. And I think the attraction is mutual. What do you think I should do, man who's glued to a toilet seat?
Hey, is that someone using the urinal? I can hear you out there. Turn off your damn iPod, you self-absorbed little puke. You worthless crumb of human flatulence. You pimple pancake. Ow, my cheeks are burning. Look, it's not the good kind of burning, like the kind you get after you've slipped the hooker an extra 50 to spank her with your hairbrush. Can you hear me? Someone help me, please. God, I can't believe this is happening to me. Again. Ooh, that's refreshing.
This has been Ask the Man Who Is Glued to a Toilet Seat, advice guru for the Bob and Tom Show. Not to be confused with the Ask a Man Whose Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Glued His Genitals to His Stomach. That airs later.
Wow. Well, we can figure out exactly when that was, that news story about the guy in the toilet seat came out.
Yeah, there was a period of time where that seemed to come up like every 6 months or so. People thought that was funny. I mean, what a horrible practical joke. But, you know, we made light of it just because it was so stupid. And then now we have Ali Breen taking relationship questions on the show.
Well, I like my favorite thing about the setup of that is that you keep asking for help. And just the idea that there's like a whole production staff around.
Yeah.
And there's people doing music. And
or that people are walking in and out of the restrooms and his calls or help are being completely ignored by people walking around.
And then I like the first time that he's talking, he goes, sorry if I shouldn't use the word handicapped. Like you're walking things back. And the second time you're like, you worthless puke. Listen to your damn iPod.
His tone changed the longer he was on.
Yeah. It's so relatable, though. You're like, I only use this stall because it's, you know, more room. I didn't mean that, you know, take it up if someone actually needs it.
It's so fun. I mean, that's what you tell yourself every time that you use like a handicap or whatever the stall's supposed to be called. Sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. And also, when you go, what is it they prefer? To use the term they there is so much more offensive than anything else you could have said. Yes.
But that's like, you know, it's whenever you do, like, you're like having the argument in your head, like, oh, if anybody comes in, I hope nobody comes in. Oh, gosh.
But yeah. Really, or Josh's really story where he was in the bathroom and the door flew open down in New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love that story.
Like, oh, it's like the worst.
Oh, my God. We should recreate that. Ask a man who's. Door flew open while he's taking a
drink. And no one shut the door.
Shut the door. Please shut the door. Can anyone hear me?
I'm sorry.
And just walking away. That should, we should, you should do that. We should do that. We talked to Dean and said, hi, my name's Josh.
Yeah.
I think Josh is done talking about that story.
Not unless Tom asked for it.
He does it in his stand-up. Last time I saw him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's such a
Oh, wait, is that a spoiler? Go see him. It's totally better now. It's funny. Just you got to see Josh's face and the whole
reaction.
And he's
not
it's
half
ridiculous.
Fat anymore. Yeah. He's got new stuff. Yeah.
Dude, I'm struggling with that. I lost like 10 pounds. In my act, I say I weigh 250 pounds, and now I weigh 240 pounds, but I'm not going to change it because here's the thing. I have enough discipline to lose 10 pounds. I do not have enough discipline to write new jokes.
That's right.
I'm not going to do it. I've already did the thing with discipline. No time for that.
You're giving yourself a little window.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Up or down, doesn't matter. All good.
And Mark, another favorite line in that is, not again is a lot of fun. And then when you hear the flush, that's refreshing.
Yeah. I think there was also another news story, too, about a guy that had gotten trapped on a... Is that a spoiler?
No. There are. We're not going to play anymore today, I don't think. But there's three more Ask Us something.
He was trapped on a ski lift. News story, a guy like got, again, not really funny, especially for the guy that was trapped on the ski lift. But we made light of it.
Anyway. Ask a guy stuck in quicksand was another one.
Oh, that's good.
That one didn't have a good ending.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's the thing about old quicksand.
Look at you.
Okay, well, let's get into our next bit. Who knew that bank bits would be so interesting?
To be honest, I'd never heard of the first bank that treats you like you're the Lehigh University class president turned bank robber. But since it seemed to fit me to a T, I told the bank manager that I had a 3.9 GPA, was a member of several extracurricular programs, volunteered at the nursing home, and if he didn't give me all the cash in the drawer, I'd blow his head off.
This frat boy came in and said he was the president of the class of 2008 at Lehigh University, had a 3.9 GPA, and that he was in several extracurricular activities, like volunteering at nursing homes, and that he'd blow my head off if I didn't give him all the cash in the drawer.
Beep there.
I told all of the male bank employees that they were scumbag pledges, and that for the next 8 semesters, I was their mama, their daddy, and their supreme lord and commander. Oh, and I told them to make sure they had a bag of marshmallows handy. I wanted to degrade their dignity the same way mine was freshman year. So I had them strip, get in a circle, and pass that marshmallow around using only their butt cheeks.
Frankly, we were happy and relieved that the class president, frat boy robber, had us do that rather than sit on a block of ice. And that...
Hey, shut up, rookie plebe!
I'm sorry, your lordship. I am scum.
Now, continue the commercial, scum.
Yes, your lordship, sir. So anyway, we passed the marshmallows with our butt cheeks while reciting the Greek alphabet. I'm not sure how or why, but after that... We were all very close friends.
After the initiation hazing, I asked the bank manager for a job. He gave it to me. He had to.
I gave the man a job. I had to. We were brothers now. I kind of hate myself.
I robbed the bank, got a loan, got the job, and then we threw a bitchin' kegger with the girls from the First Bank of Hot Coeds who dig frat boys who rob banks down the street. It was awesome. Puke and deposit slips everywhere. Toga, toga, toga.
The first bank that treats you like you're the Lehigh University class president turned bank robber. If you're an overachiever with no friends who has to force people to love and respect you through humiliation, we're the bank for you. Bring your transcript and an automatic weapon this week and get a free logo sweatshirt and paddle.
Toga.
The first bank that treats you like you're the Lehigh University class president turned bank robber, where our motto is...
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Toga, toga, toga.
Oh, that was fun to relive. Wow.
So that's another one of those bits that it's like, yeah, we could figure out exactly when this was. We have to figure out the news story that it was referencing. And it's sort of a 15 seconds of fame, 15 minutes of fame thing, but it's like a really, really funny bit that kind of can live past that.
Mm-hmm. Were you a frat guy at Ball State?
I was not a frat guy, although when I first arrived at Ball State as a freshman, I was 2 years older than most of the other freshmen because after high school, I went to Butler University for a semester, much like Gunner, who works in the building, but I only went for a semester.
Sure.
And my grades were not that great when I left Butler. Went to Ball State then 2 years later, and when I arrived at Ball State, went through what they call Rush and had decided on a fraternity, and they had decided on me, I guess, then they get the grade transcripts, and from high school, I would have been great, but my grades from Butler, right, and I had had an incomplete in gym, right?
Who gets
an incomplete in gym?
People who don't go.
No, I went. I don't know why I got an incomplete. Did I follow up to find out? No.
Who takes gym in college, though, also?
As a freshman.
You have to take gym.
It's physical education.
In college?
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah. I did swimnastics.
It was kind of cool, though, because even though I got an incomplete.
We're going to save swimnastics. That's so funny and so weird. We got to focus on Mark right now.
Yes, what is wrong? Swimnastics? Sorry, Mark.
I was at Hinkle Field House, which is where my gym class was for Butler that I got an incomplete for. But the cool thing was they had a track up on the top level, right? And Tony Hinkle would be running track in the morning, you know. And at the time, he had to have been in his 80s, I'm sure. But it was just really cool, like, to, you know, see the man that the arena I was in working out in was named after. And
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, got to Ball State, and they were like, yeah, your grades, you know, you're going to have to wait until we get your grades in from this semester at Ball State, and then we can take you again next year. And I was like, no, thanks. I got my own friends. I don't need you guys anymore. Thanks. So I was interested, and I was certainly going to do it. I was going to pursue it, and I think that it was divine intervention because everything worked out just great.
Right,
and
sometimes
things, like, you can be disappointed in life, but sometimes things are meant to happen for a reason. A door closes, a window opens, whatever you want to say. But like, I didn't get into the fraternity, and it didn't like affect my life. I was like, okay.
Well, you still do a great impression of a frat guy.
Yes. So. And I was around quite a bit of him. As a matter of fact, when I lived at Ball State later on in an apartment, it was the guy that I lived with whose parents owned it. He had been at that fraternity. I didn't know him at the time. But again, like, sort of synergy, we got to be good friends, and he was a really cool guy. And, he, you know, we would have been frat brothers. But
So that bit has.
Are we done with frat talk?
No. Yeah. Well, that first. I don't know. Do you know the history behind this bit?
Behind the
first bank of Lehigh.
So I know it's the first bank that treats you like X or Y.
Right.
There's the first bank, Tom Griswold. There's that treats you. Yeah. There's a million of these.
But this specific one had a snafu to it.
Oh no! Let's get into it.
Basically, I'm going to play it. Okay. I'm just going to play it, and I'm just going to leave the mics open. So this is the first take, and this was on an album, for the record. So, but it's not for actual radio airwaves.
But I also want to emphasize, while you hear this, for everyone listening, okay, in real time, when this was first played on the air, live on the air, the first time that the whole cast was hearing it and they're laughing along, this is the version that played on the air live.
Okay. And it plays out here.
Yeah.
Okay. There's even a guest in the room.
Here we go.
So here we go.
To be honest, I'd never heard of the first bank that treats you like you're the Lehigh University class president turned bank robber. But since it seemed to fit me to a T, I told the bank manager that I had a 3.9 GPA, was a member of several extracurricular programs, volunteered at the nursing home, and if he didn't give me all the cash in the drawer, I'd blow his f***ing head off.
Oh my God!
Well, we have our second technical problem of the week.
Oh my gosh.
Chad, look at that. Chad, are you leaving?
I have to stand up to let this laugh out. I can't contain it today. That was awesome.
Is that Chad Daniels?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, how perfect. We had a technical problem. I apologize.
Did you hit it? I did. I think we got
the funniest thing is watching them both go for the button.
That is beautiful.
I was reaching for a button and I don't even I love that line. I was reaching for a button. I don't
so,
even have
so when it happened, they did hit the button, and that did not air.
Yeah.
But obviously, somebody might have had the raw recording of that,
right,
which you just heard.
So that wasn't the famous. I know that at one point, my dad, Bob, they both had a button, and they. I know that there used to be a thing where if they pushed the button at the exact same time, they would cancel out.
Cancel out.
So that was not that time. No. So that didn't air. No. How did you feel when you heard that live? Your face was, by the way, right now.
Yeah,
just
now was red.
You were red as a tomato.
It was Dean's worst day.
Yeah.
I was in the room behind Dean when it happened.
Oh.
And yeah, that wasn't on me per se. I was just, I was reading the script, right?
Well, you really hit it too. You say.
Oh, he hit it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but I loved it because I was watching the reaction here. Oh. And I love Chad Daniels. He's so funny. And to like make him laugh, right? Oh, you know how that is. Like, I was like, whoa.
It feels like $1 million. If I make Josh earnestly laugh, I'm done for the week.
And it was completely unpurposeful, obviously. You know,
right.
Obviously. But, yeah, that was a great moment. And I think that's why the last part of that bit, I blacked it out, like, after that day. Cause I'm like, we're never playing that again, right? Like, they got through it. Dean beeped it, and they ended up playing it later that day.
And
like,
edited together.
There were some edits.
It is. That's so funny.
Gosh.
But when you do, I've never said F on the big show.
Well, I yeah. And then I got it. I'm gonna say this. So I got an email. I got an email from another one of our voice guys on the show that day, right? Like right after it happened.
Yeah.
And his email to me was, when I'm reading a script, I always use like fun or
fudge.
No. I never really say the word. And I responded back, thanks.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's great. Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah. I always think that's the fun part of recording with Dean is you get to say the real word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a part of it.
Yeah, and so then I was kind of thinking, well, it really wasn't my
fault. It wasn't on me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really do anything wrong. I was reading a script.
Dean was distraught.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He felt horrible. He didn't want to talk to anyone. Don't even say it's okay, Dean. It was pretty bad. Yeah.
And so my enjoyment.
Especially for Dean. I mean, Dean's pretty even Stevens.
Yeah, so my enjoyment of it behind Dean was short-lived.
Short-lived?
Because I understand, you know, right?
And so.
It's so funny. And the way that you hear the room, everyone shuts up.
Yes.
And then I like how Bob laughs, and that gives everyone else permission to laugh.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That Bob goes, okay, we're having fun still. It's still a fun show.
And then Chick says, I was trying to hit a button.
I don't even have a button.
Everything worked out fine. No one got in trouble. You hit the button, so it did what it's supposed to do, but dang it, it's so funny.
It gave us
funny.
A great moment.
For people hearing it, oh, man.
Oh, my
but
God.
That's the thing about it, is that like you are listening expecting the beep. And everybody's shock and just like silence for a second.
And keep in
mind,
too, this was way before podcasts and things were now, you know, if you're listening to a pod, we're on a podcast. If you're listening to a podcast, but you know, language isn't necessarily a hindrance when the FCC is not involved in licenses and all of the things that go on with commercial radio.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how fun it was for a listener hearing that live in their car, because after the delay happens, coming back to the room and they're like, what happened? What happened?
And the interesting thing, too, is that the way the delay system works, not to go too far behind, but when that button is pushed, it basically, we're on a 10 to 20 second delay, depending on whatever. When you hit that button, you lose like 10 to 20 seconds before it happens.
Right.
So it was just in the middle of a bit, and all of a sudden, there's like a sounder that goes when the dump button's hit. And so people know.
If I'm in my car and I hear that, I clinch.
Oh, they know something happened. Someone said something.
But I'm so excited when I hear the dump button.
Absolutely. And you can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah. Inevitably, all of a sudden, the sounder ends. Mm. It comes back in, and all you hear is...
Exactly.
Do you guys remember when I got it on the big show? So I said, I did J-O. Everyone's saying how good Sam is. And then Christy goes, what do you do, Willie? And I go, I pretty much just sit at home and I J-O all the time.
Oh.
And I said it and everybody lost it. And I feel bad and I'm hiding my face away. And they go, you get one. You know, I guess you get one, kid.
Everybody does.
Well, let's get into our next bit. This one. So if Ozzy orders a pizza, who takes the order?
What if Ozzy was ordering a pizza? So at first we were going to have Dean, our producer, do his famous Ozzy voice.
Mm-hmm.
But then clear heads prevailed, and we decided to actually have Ozzy by taking actual parts of the interview.
Right.
And then intercutting them with Mike Mark from our staff pretending to be the pizza delivery. So this is actually Ozzy's voice. Is that clear enough? Did I make okay?
I believe so.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
Paparazzi Pizza. Can I take your order?
Yeah. I'm in the color.
Okay.
They're allowing to go on, and we just got to the Mad Monk.
Meat lover.
Right.
Yeah, gonna be about 45 minutes.
The people that work at drive-thrus and the people that answer pizza phone calls, they must be in the same way that doctors can read that little chicken scratch handwriting.
Yeah.
The genius that it takes to intercept that code. How do they do it?
Yeah, I have a terrible ear.
Yeah.
I could never do it. I have no idea.
Meat lovers. And the amazing thing about that, too, is that audio was actually from, we had interviewed Ozzy on the air the day before or that day, and Dean took that as actual audio from the interview as Tom was talking to him, and Chick was like looking at him like, I don't know what he's saying right now. Like,
yeah.
Chick was legitimately like going, I, you know, and so Chick was, and Tom conducted the interview, and Chick said afterwards, Tom, I don't know how you did that. I honestly could not understand what he was saying, and that led to an off-air conversation, which led to that. And then Dean da-da-da-da-da, and all Dean did was he called me and said, hey, I'm putting together this thing for Tom wants, and I'm just like you're doing a pizza order. And so he called me on the phone from there corner studio, and that was like just on the fly. I just did that in like 10 seconds, those three lines.
Meat lovers.
And nailed it. Perfect.
About 45 minutes.
Yeah, all you say is, meat lovers in 45 minutes. And
that's brilliant.
It's an award-winning performance. Yes. It's so killer.
It's fantastic. And I think, Mark, help me out here too. That Ozzy interview, infamously, Chick said that. But I think Bob, Chick, and Christy all bowed out.
Correct.
They just...
That's right.
Tom, this is yours.
Yeah.
And then Tom's like, you guys just left me there to hang, basically. Yeah.
Well, it's not like Ozzy's asking them any questions. So whatever he says, you're like, all right, moving on to the next one.
That's true.
Well, whenever Ozzy comes up, Tom likes to bring up the big zit on his back. Because there was a show here back in the day where they took winners and they were backstage and the winners got to go out. This is really cool, actually. At an Ozzy concert, right? The winners of this radio contest got to meet backstage, and then they went out, like, during the show. I guess they had monks come out holding, like, candles, and they were the monks with the robes on and got to come out and, like, go around on stage, right?
Whoa. Oh, cool.
Just, like, walk around and come back, right? It's part of the show. Kind of cool if you're an Ozzy fan, right?
Yeah.
Being on stage during the concert, amazing, right? And so Ozzy had his shirt off, and all Tom talks about was that he had a big zit right in the middle of his back. Because when you come up on stage, he's, like, right there, and it was, you know. It's the things that Tom focuses on.
Well, he can't reach it. He can't. It's right where you can't pop, you know?
Bring up Ozzy Osbourne in the next 2 weeks randomly.
And that'll...
In some capacity if it comes up, and he will talk about Ozzy's big zit on his back.
I think also he might bring up the fact that Ozzy will pour water over himself.
That's true.
Because, and why does he do that?
He
does
it
because he urinates on himself during the concert, and he doesn't want anyone to know, so he pours the bucket as soon as the concert starts, and he's just soaked in water, so he can just... pee away and no one's gonna know.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's so
rock and roll.
I do that same thing. If I like pee on my slacks a little bit, I'll do the Greg Hahn beer bit as my opener. I just start pouring beer
there
everywhere.
There you go.
Nobody notices.
Is that true?
No, it's a joke.
Okay.
I'm just joking. It didn't get a laugh, so it kind of came out more like a statement or a sentence.
Willie, are we gonna talk about the fact that I used to take you to school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mark, me and Mark, Jimbo had a run there for a while, but
that's right, man.
Yeah. And I remember because you took a different route than Jimbo did, and I remember that one time I like called you out on it, and you were like, I got this. Okay, kid, I'm fine.
Look, Willie, I've been released from the studio. I'm taking you to school, and I'm going to go the way I want to go.
I'm like 14. I have my face in a Game Boy or something dumb like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He took Kessler, you took 62nd. That doesn't matter.
Ah, Jimbo.
But,
dude, those were the best. And then it was, I felt like I was cheating at school, right? Because everyone else was getting to school. They'd wake up, you know, mom, dad, breakfast, and you go to school, whatever. And I was like, oh no, I've already been alive for 2 hours.
I've been hanging out down at the Bob and Tom show. I don't know if you've heard it or anything.
Right. There was one day in sixth grade where there was like everyone's like got to school or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I just hung out with Edrin James.
Yeah.
Because the Colts running back had to come in studio. Yeah. And I was
suck
like,
on that, kids.
No, and I wasn't nice. I was like, yeah, I got to hang out with Edrin James. Woo! Like pointing in their faces.
My brother and I already have our own show. Okay.
The Sam and Willie show. Yeah. Are you familiar with the work of Tim Cavanaugh?
Well, there was a time where we would come, if you came in here like before 8 o'clock, I would say, mm-hmm. it was like you had to be quiet in the hallways because mm-hmm. the Griswold boys were asleep. Like you just.
There was a little bit of that.
There
yep.
was, I mean, something, maybe not every morning, but it's like, hey, so and so's asleep.
That must have been the Charlie days.
No, it was Chuck and it was Sam. I was never a sleeper. Yeah, I was always, yeah. I was always on the computer. I was listening to the show constantly.
Yeah, but there were like just Griswold boys just grazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like they were, you just would run into one
just
every morning.
Just me drinking three Dr. Peppers before 7:45 a.m.
Rotting your teeth out.
Just
yeah.
stealing Chick's Diet Pepsis. And he goes, you drink my last damn Diet Pepsi, kid? Oh, yeah.
You're lucky he likes you now.
Mm-hmm. It's just because I'm cute. It's just because I got these cheeks, you know. I do well with them. We got two more bits. This next one, it's a quiz show, but it's about steroids.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of that popular spring training guessing game, Who's on the Juice? I'm your host, Johnny Rum. Our contestants today are Jason Giambi, Barry Bonds, and Yankees outfielder Gary Sheffield, who, by the way, is the nephew of former big leaguer Dwight Gooden. Say, Gary, your uncle didn't give you a package to give me, did he? A small package about the size of a kilo?
I don't think so.
Because I'm good for it.
No, nothing.
All righty then. Also on Who's on the Juice, today it's giant slugger, Barry Bonds.
This better not take long, sissy boy. I'm missing my stories.
Okay. Let's meet our final contestant, also a New York Yankee, Jason Giambi. Oh, boy, take it easy. Now, Chef, we'll start with you. You recently said that if someone gives you a cup, you'd provide them with a urine sample anytime. Yet, when a reporter brought a cup, you declined to do so. Did you refuse because, A, the players' union doesn't permit random testing, B, you normally sit down when you pee, or C, steroids have shriveled certain body parts so much that you would only need a thimble?
I'm going to say B, Johnny. I like to sit.
Correct. You're on the board. Now, Barry, as a player in your late 30s, you broke the single-season home run record with 73 dingers, even though you had never hit as many as 50 in another season. Were you able to accomplish this miraculous feat because, A, you're God's favorite ball player, B, you promised a dying kid you'd do it for him, or C, you ingested enough human growth hormone to grow twins out your backside?
I'll say D, as in don't ask me that again. Dumbass, or I'll knock your damn head off.
Close enough. Jason Giambi, you showed up for spring training about half the size you were in previous years. Yet you claim this astounding reduction in muscle mass is due solely to the fact you made fewer trips to fast food restaurants. Did you think, A, we wouldn't notice, B, assume we all rode here on the short bus, or C, you think that Seabiscuit should have won the Oscar for Best Picture? Ooh, I'm sorry. Lord of the Rings was clearly the more epic and satisfying film. Well, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, it's the lightning round on Who's on the Juice. I'm Johnny Rump. And Jason Giambi reminds everyone to be sure and see Hidalgo in theaters now.
Hidalgo, is that another horse movie?
Yes, it was a current horse movie at the time, of course. That's so funny because Johnny Rump... there was a guy that worked in our building in promotions, and his name was John Rump.
John Rump, yep.
And I actually went to grade school with John Rump.
Oh,
so
did you go to grade school? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we went to grade school, and he was a year under me. But, yeah, he lived in my neighborhood growing up. And so when they said, hey, you need to read a script, you're going to be portraying Johnny Rump, I was like, yeah. So that was fun. Well, and you could see my sports background kicking in there with the sports broadcasting background there.
I was going to say, the first thing I wrote down, you have a really good, just straight broadcasting voice.
Yeah, I did play-by-play in high school, and that really was sort of my ultimate dream job. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's very difficult to get a play-by-play gig anywhere, you know. Very few and hard to come by. Look at Mark Boyle for the Pacers. How many years has he been here doing it for the Pacers? Amazing, great, outstanding. And so when I was up in Marion as news director, I also helped with them doing the broadcast for their local high school football, basketball, baseball teams. I was part of that and wanted to do more sports broadcasting. And that's ultimately what brought me back to Indianapolis was because I moved to WNDE to do sports at the top and bottom of every hour. Sure. And the reason why I say that is because we had to say that on the air.
Yep.
That's what I said. Hi, I'm Mark Allison with sports at the top and bottom of every hour. And then I'd go into my sports cast at the top and then at the bottom of the hour. Hi, I'm Mark Allison with sports at the top and bottom of every hour. That was like sort of our thing, you know, sort of like when Chick does the news you can use.
Right, and, right.
So just like from 50 to 10, basically, you would do sports?
When on NDE, I would do sports. Willie, if you're paying attention, at the top and bottom of every hour.
No, I know, but like, is it just like a one big chunk? I'm done with you. Forget it.
It was a syndicated satellite show where they would have sports talk on that was syndicated, national sports talk, and then they do the local updates at the top and bottom of every hour.
Well, and now if you want to hear Mark, I feel like you do your own show when I listen to 24/7. Or I listen to VIP.
Mm-hmm. I do. I host
I listen on my TV every morning and I get to hear, and I just feel like I hear things that other people don't hear because we work with Mark, and I I'll text you and I'll be like, oh, that was hilarious when you just said I don't know. It's funny.
And I appreciate that because you never know. I mean, you just never know who's out there listening at various times. And the nice thing about 24/7 too is that it's worldwide, right? Mm-hmm. Like we get emails. I do all the email as well here behind the scenes. Anything that comes in, if you send something to bobandtom@bobandtom.com, I will see it in some capacity and filter it out to where it
I was
needs
going to
go.
Say, more importantly, he is our filter. He probably saves our hearts and our mental health from a lot in the things that he doesn't share with us.
Yeah. So last June, you had to throw away a lot of emails that said, Willie's ruining the show. Yeah.
That is not true. That is not true.
Again,
at all.
You guys, I wish I would have gotten a laugh so it didn't sound like a sentence. I mean, come on. Just sounds like I'm insecure.
Now, I'm going back. There's a short story of an email you got years ago back when we had Marty as a boss.
Yes.
And you replied to an email. Can you tell that one real quick?
I can. And I learned a very valuable lesson from that. Very valuable lesson. So. We get all sorts of emails about various topics and subjects, as you can imagine, some more important than others, some are, you know, whatever. So a listener had sent an email and he was very concerned. Do you remember what the topic was, Jason?
I don't remember the topic. I just remember the thing that they did wrong.
It was an important topic, but I want to emphasize that it wasn't like an insensitive topic or something that, you know, but he was wanting to make his point heard about whatever it was he was upset with. Right. And he started his diatribe, if you will, of his email with, I was listening to your show on the stereo, and I just want you to know, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Right.
And my reply to him for his concerns was, you spelled stereo wrong. Send.
Yeah. The
I was being funny.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a comedy show.
Hey,
it's a comedy
they like show. Being funny with you. They like dishing it out.
I saw your concerns and I read through it, but I want you to know you spelled stereo wrong. Well, he didn't think it was funny when he got that email back. Mm. And so I got the Marty at my door. And here's Marty.
Yeah.
I'm doing just a blank a stare. Yeah. This is Marty when he walks to your door.
Mm-hmm. Studying you.
He's waiting for you to talk first.
Marty. Come see me after the show.
No,
that's all he said.
And that's terrifying.
And that was when he came in at like 8:15 in the morning and the show goes till 10. You want to talk about sweaty armpits.
Oh,
because he didn't tell me why he wanted to see me, but I could tell it wasn't because he wanted to congratulate me on being a great person. I'm hilarious. And so I got a talking to about how to respond to people that are reaching out to the show and that I represent the show and that perhaps I should think twice before I hit send. And so that was a very valuable lesson for me. And I consider it that it probably saved my job in some capacity, right? Because, you know, I suddenly realized, hey, you know, I'm sending stuff out that other people, it's from the show.
Sure.
Like I'm representing the show when I send stuff. And so I'm hypersensitive of that. And so I try to respond when I can to individuals when I can. We literally get hundreds of emails a day on a topic like today with the hitting like a car in your driveway. I mean, you're talking almost thousands. So I try to let people know that's really funny or that was good when I can. But, you know, sometimes it just gets so busy that you're just sort of like. But I do know this, that when people are listening at home and they hear their email read by Tom on the air and everyone reacts and thinks it's funny or, oh my gosh, they just read my email on the air.
Right.
I enjoy that too.
Love
because
that.
It's interactive and that's what radio should be.
Yep.
That's what makes radio great. Is it's interactive. It's
you know
it's,
what? You responding that way though, even though you spelled stereo wrong. That makes him part of the show because in the show everyone dishes it out. You know, they take pokes and stabs. Tom likes to correct people or, you know, So, right. Hey, take it with a stride.
Yeah, and I did tell Marty, I said, look, in my defense, I did get back to him.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Focus on the positives.
But you know what? I think that this what makes you great is that you were a fan first. And so you still, like a lot of us, go back to that place of when I was a listener.
Absolutely.
What would I would have liked?
On that note, shout out to my friend Jeff Bruce in Evansville, who's a huge fan of not just the show, but the Bits and Pieces podcast.
Yay, Jeff.
We were at Ball State together, both in T-Com together. He was in the sales route, and they called them ladders. I was in whatever, but he was in the sales portion of it, which is really smart because guess what? Guess where you make your money in radio?
Yes. Yes.
Sales. Right?
And helps keep the lights on.
Yeah, and he got out of college and went right to Evansville and started in radio sales, and he's never looked back.
Oh,
and
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, and he's still in sales now. Not in radio, but he's still in sales. So shout out to you, JB.
There you go.
Nice.
How you doing?
Before we go, I want to give Mark credit for a couple things. He's kind of Chick's support on the sports side.
Absolutely. Chick and I were just talking about you recently.
So Mark is he said earlier, he did the sports top and the bottom of the hour.
Can I make a quick point before you go on
absolutely.
Talking about me and glowingly?
Yes.
Part of the reason why I love sports, in addition to being a Colts and Pacers fan and just, growing up here, 1984, Bob and Tom come to my town in 1983. Mm-hmm. That had to have been the biggest thing to happen in my town. I'm not kidding. I'm not overstating it. When they came here, there was a guy named Gary Todd on the AM who was number one and had been for a decade at least. He was the best. He was news talk, and that's what people listened to. Bob and Tom came here, and all of a sudden there was a switch, and they're like, oh, my God, who are these guys, right?
Yeah.
The year after that, the Colts came here.
Yep.
So we got Bob and Tom and then the Colts. And Bob and Tom were big supporters of the Colts, obviously. It's in their hometown, and they have an NFL team, and the Colts sucked.
Yeah.
They were so bad for so long.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of the synergy of sports. I was in fantasy sports, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, before there were computers. We used to do stats on USA Today.
Cool. Oh,
are you serious?
And you'd get the stats on USA Today on Wednesday and Thursday of the stats, and me and my friend Roy would sit down and crunch all the numbers, and by the Friday afternoon, we had the standings. So going into the next weekend,
can I cut in real quick?
Stood.
Real
yes.
quick, nerd.
Sorry. Yeah, but here's the thing.
Wrap up. Yeah.
Total nerd. But had I known computer, been able to monetize that, we were doing it before it was on a computer, and before there were websites that facilitated
really
that.
Ahead of your time,
I would be a multimillionaire, if not billionaire, if we had been able to just.
But then we
that
wouldn't
part
have
of it
you.
Out. That's right. So everything happens.
Chick just said that today. He said, he goes, I really can't put words to it, but when Mark's not there, I'm missing something. Aww. I need him there in the morning. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And if you want to see Mark, he is in a portion of sports history video that's pretty iconic.
Really?
I don't know if you know this, Willie. Michael Jordan left and went to play baseball for, a year and a half, whatever, but it was two seasons.
The Barons?
And he came back with number 45, right, Mark?
That's right.
And when he did come back, he came back at Market Square Arena. And when he comes out of the tunnel, you can look and you can see Mark Allison standing right there.
Shut up, I've got this.
Are you in The Last Dance then? Because they do a whole episode about that.
It could be. If they had his comeback of him coming out of the tunnel on his comeback,
it's
I'm right
him
there.
Coming out of the tunnel and Mark is standing right there.
I'm right there.
That's
wasn't
so
he like,
cool.
He was only 45 for one game was the whole thing?
No, he played for a couple.
Yeah, might have been the...
Quick backstory on that. This is something I'm also very proud of. So, as I said, before I started with Bob and Tom, I was doing sports talk radio down the hall on the AM. Well, we had a Pacers show, and I was the producer and host for the Pacers show that we had, which was a weekly show. We were not the affiliate of the Pacers. Mm. We had been. When I came here to do sports, the AM was the affiliate for the Colts and the Pacers.
Oh, my
gosh. Wow.
Within 6 weeks of me arriving, they both went crosstown to the station.
No.
This Allison kid.
Both of them, yeah. Hey, welcome to the sports station. We lost both teams. But I had a Pacers talk show, right?
Yeah.
They... night before he was to come back, I was doing my Pacers show, and I had gotten a reporter from Chicago to come on the show to talk about the Pacers playing the Bulls. Because at that point, when I had set up the interview, it was the Pacers playing the Bulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have her on the show. We're talking to her, and we get her on because it was already a pre-scheduled interview. And the news, this is before the internet, keep in mind, the news had broken moments before she came on with us. She comes on to my radio show here in Indianapolis. We introduce her, and she's like,
Breaking news, Michael Jordan is going to be returning for the game tomorrow night against the Indiana Pacers. He is finally coming back, and it's going to happen tomorrow. I've just had it confirmed. So Michael Jordan will be playing against the Pacers tomorrow night in Indianapolis.
Mark, you just got goosebumps.
And
I was like,
and, you know, of course, I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, we keep talking about, you know, and the interview ends. Okay, so.
Playing it cool.
This is really cool. It's before the internet, you know, and, like, it's breaking news. Like, she literally was breaking it. Here in Indianapolis, on our show,
she's like, "I'm happy to be doing it at the local Pacers affiliate."
I show up the next day for the game. I got the credential. Sure. I'm coming in. Mm-hmm. I know Michael Jordan's there. There is a buzz like you cannot believe.
I can't imagine.
I mean, I'm telling you, from the parking garage in, people are just buzzing. They all know Jordan's going to be there. They're all coming to see it. They have tickets. They're completely pumped. There's just like this. Mm-hmm. You can just feel it. Mm-hmm. I walk into Market Square Arena. And playing on the PA is my interview with the reporter from Chicago, breaking the news that Michael Jordan is coming back for the game tomorrow. And people started going, and started cheering, listening to the radio report from the night before.
Awesome.
And like, you talk about goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I was like
amazing.
Walking and going, That's me.
That's so cool.
There's
got
to be some sort of AM archivist who can help us find that.
Yeah, and they
you
know, save the tape of everything, right? You learn that early on.
Right.
Your dad, save the tape of everything.
Yeah.
So I have no idea where the tape of that is.
You know, I just a quick compliment, Mark. We say the core four, and then we have, like, now there's Josh, and then Dean is a part of the core four. Like, there's all these things. And I'm just going to say, you have to be one of the best ad libs ever. You know, I mean, outside of our, like, you nail it every time. Your tone, whatever you choose to say. I mean, just like Chick always says, people have funny bones. You have funny bones. And I enjoy you so much and your contribution to the show over the years. Like, I kind of fangirled out a little bit when I found out it's going to be you.
Thank you, Jess. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. We're so happy we finally got to have you on. Yes.
And you're always kind to the new people that are in the building. And if you're sitting at the front desk and you know nothing and you're all green, you're still very kind. And it's nice to see, like, big names when you know their voices and they're still, like, nice to you and they're real people.
Right.
And
it's
like,
you learn a lot about karma, and being nice to people generally comes back to you. And I will say, for a final thing, one of the best parts about being in the show, besides being around everybody, it's like a second family, is you never know who's coming through that door or who's going to be on or who. What, every day is the same. Every day is different. Every day is different. And you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really love about this job.
It's fun.
Yeah. And I just want to say one quick thing about him being nice and talking to everybody. I don't know if you remember this. When in June, when I was in that little room over there, you came by and you go, "Hey, this is a little mean, but I'm going to give it to you. I think you'll like it." And you gave me an email, and it was a letter from this guy, and it said, "At first I thought Willie coming on the show was a blatant display of nepotism, but turns out he's actually pretty funny." You're like, I usually don't give you these. Well, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cool. If you like the show, review, subscribe. We appreciate it. It helps us out. This is Bits and Pieces. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.